Welcome to the Wellspring Church Sermon of the Week. We hope you enjoy this message from this Sunday's service.
You know, the last few weeks, how many of you enjoyed last week with Greg and we shared about walking out our faith, and it was kind of this podcast style word. And so really the last few weeks, 3 weeks ago, I shared on this overview of the gospel. And then the next week, it was on Holy Spirit and relationship with the Spirit of God. And then this last week was our faith in action. We gave the three T's of generosity, which is our time, our treasure, and our talent. Yes, thank you. Greg came up with them. I didn't, so he remembers them much better than me. But this week, I wanted to talk to you guys about the body of Christ. What does it mean for us to be a part of the body? And we live in a world, or at least in a nation, where individualism is our thing, right? We have built our lives around being individuals and doing our thing and building for ourselves, right? But there's so many other cultures, if you go other places, where they really build life communally. And I found this in the scripture, is that the kingdom is actually, what we look at like the body of Christ, right? It's a body. Yes, it is individuals, but it's individuals who are by choice moving into communal type living, where it's like I belong to something much bigger than me, right? Is that I actually bring something to the table, and there's other people who are bringing something to the table that I can receive from, right? And so today we're going to hit on a couple things. I'm going to talk about the body of Christ, but I think one of these parts of this is going to be, what does leadership look like in the body of Christ? And I think this is a very needed message for us, because I think the Lord is wanting to put in order his house and his church. You know, if we are the body, then who is the body? Has a head, right? All right, who's the head? Jesus is the head. If we're the body, he's the head. I've never seen a body that works too well that doesn't have a head, or that isn't vitally connected to the head. If you want a healthy body, you need healthy connections to that head, right? So we have to understand that as Christ is the head, it's his thoughts, it's the impulses that he is sending, it's the signals that he is sending, that we move and function based on what is in his mind and on his heart, right? And I think a lot of times what we've had is, in many ways, we've had church leaders who have either tried or who have been made to operate as the head of something. And I wouldn't necessarily call that his church, because he is the head of his church, right? And I believe that the Lord is wanting to put things in order. And I want to show you how beautiful it is when the body is functioning how God created it to be. And maybe you're saying, well, why doesn't the body just function how it's supposed to function? It's because it requires our participation. It requires our choice. It requires our yes. And God and his goodness, and because he wants relationship with us, we actually have the option to say no, right? But what would the church look like if we all gave a yes to him? What would it look like if we all came under his leadership? I mean, if you know that, or let me just say this, is that the leader here, if you're like, who's the leader of the Wellspring Church? It's Jesus. It's Jesus. You know who the greatest leaders are in the kingdom of God? They're the greatest followers. It's an upside down kingdom. Those who know how to follow the leader. Right? Jesus isn't looking for the next leader. He's not looking for the next person who's the most gifted and talented and who's the best speaker and communicator, he is looking for like how he looked at David, and it says that he found a man that was after his own heart. Right? What does that look like to be a man after his own heart? It's that I have actually made the decision to die to just what I want, and I've become to set my desires and my attention on his heart. I'm after his heart. And I think a lot of times, you know, the Lord asks us to do something. We're like, Lord, that's just really not in my heart. And he's like, well, it's in mine. It's in mine. And David found the joy of being one who is after his heart. And he found that real life is in his heart. And I want to tell you today is that all of us are called to that same place and to that same thing, is where we begin to say, what's in your heart? I found whenever I pursue his heart, he begins to give me desires for my heart. And it's the only way for me to actually be fully who he's made me to be, is to be a man after his heart. And so, Christ designed us as his body to be vitally connected to him and each other. I want to read Ephesians 2. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians 2, verse 18. Read now the NIV translation. It says, for through him, talking about Christ, we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, remember that, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So let me point out a few things. I'm going to start kind of from the end and work back. Is that it says that we are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So the end goal is that we would be a dwelling place in which God lives by his Spirit. Now we understand that individually, right? Oh, God wants to live in me. But did you know corporately what he's building? Because it says that you are being built together, right? So you are actually being built with people, with his body, with people who have been baptized in the same Spirit to be a dwelling place for the Lord. And when I look through Scripture, what I see is that there's this beautiful picture of individuals becoming one, right? It's the picture is that there's individuals that make up the body that become one. You see it in the Godhead, the three that are one. It's God's design is that, yes, there are these different expressions, there's these different personalities, but there is one Spirit, there's one God in which we come unified under, right? And so his heart is not to take away individualism, is not to say like we need Sonny to be fully Sonny, but Sonny gets to be the best him when he's connected to God's people, when he's connected to the head, submitted to the Lord, and he comes and he realizes I am meant to do this with God's people, right? And so what God has always been looking for is a dwelling place, a place where he can come and by his Spirit take people who may be very different, but bind their hearts together by his Spirit. It's a gift from God. People are a gift from God to you. The body is meant to be a gift from God. But I believe in many ways we've had such division and criticism in the church. And that only happens when we stop submitting to the head. Because what happens is somebody offends you, right? It's going to happen if you're with people. Somebody's going to say something. And you'll do one of two things. You'll either have to go to the head, and what he's going to do is he's going to show you the nails in his hands and the nails in his feet. He's going to say, hey, forgive him. Or you'll isolate yourself, right? You'll isolate. And what that, and in that, I've said this before a lot. I've heard people say, look, it's just me and Jesus. And I'm like, it might just be you, right? Because when I look and we look at the body of Christ, it's the body. It's some individuals, but they are knit together, right? It's why I don't want any part of sitting around criticizing other houses of worship, right? Now, there are conversations to be had, right, under his lordship, and there is truth. It's not all just like we can be honest, but also choose to love one another, right? And that's what Jesus leads us in. Y'all okay today? So there is something that Jesus is building. It says that he's the cornerstone. You know what a cornerstone is? It's basically a part of the building that the rest of the project is dependent on. Okay? It's as if you could call it the foundation stone, is that the rest of the building can't be strong and can't happen without this. Is that just like he's the body that can't function without the head, is that the building can't be built unless he is made the cornerstone, right? And so I believe what we need are houses of worship that are Christ-central, that have made Christ the center, that have made him the head, that have said that we don't want to do anything that he's not doing. Jesus himself said, I don't do anything that the Father's not doing. Right? And for us, it begins to cut away all the religious activity, all the busyness that can happen in church, that it just becomes us trying to bring the Lord something, us trying to do something for the Lord, but many times it's outside of his desire and his heart. I found this, it's why we put such an emphasis on the presence of the Lord. It's like Moses, he said, he asked God, he said, you know, we're going on this journey. You've asked us to go take this new land. He said, who are you sending before us? Who are you sending? And he said, my presence is going to go before you. And then Moses says, okay. He says, if your presence doesn't go, I'm not going. And so for us, what we want to first do when we gather, just so you know, this could be for you just alone with the Lord, but then this is what we want to do corporately when we come, is that there is a way to come before the Lord. What we always want to do is we want to come under his leadership with everything that we're doing. And so a lot of times what happens is we have a bunch of individuals in the room, right? And everybody's coming in with their stuff, and you're coming in with maybe your ideas, and maybe you're somebody who's been coming here for 3 or 4 years, and you're like, okay, I'm used to how we do things. And that's never how we want to come, is we don't want to, like Austin was talking about, we don't want to grow familiar. And what that means is, I think a good word is we don't become common with him. We don't become common. And if, what if in my marriage, people are like, hey, is that your wife, Austin? Like, yeah, that's just my wife. How would that make her feel? What would that say about my heart? It's just my wife. But no, but there has to be this place where I have to step back and look at her and say, no, look at who she is. Look at how I begin to look at how much she loves me and how she cares for our kids and how faithful she is and who she is as a person. There's times if I begin to remind myself of who she is, I will stand in awe and wonder of her. It's whenever I let life begin to dictate how I see her, and I become common with her, right? And so I intentionally have to practice gratitude. I intentionally have to practice thankfulness where I'm like, I'm thankful for her. I'm thankful for this and this. And so it's how we come before the Lord. Is the Bible says that we come into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. And so as we come before him, what it's doing is it's helping us see him rightly. He doesn't need your thanksgiving and he doesn't need your praise. But there's something about it is the way of the kingdom where when you begin to become thankful, you begin to share in his heart. It actually aligns you to be able to see him for who he is. So thanksgiving is giving God credit for what he's done. And praise and worship is simply a response to seeing God. And I'm not talking about like, whoa, there he is. But I'm talking about, oh, I see that he's been faithful. You know, I was thinking about this today during worship is I begin to think back about, back at the time where I first encountered the Lord and where he was real to me and where he came and he saved me and showed me his mercy and goodness. And I'm always thankful for that. But then I felt like the Holy Spirit was saying, hey, but think about the journey since then. Think about how I've journeyed with you your whole life. Think about the times where you felt desperate and I came to your side. Think about your children being born. That was me with you. I thought of them. I gave them to you. Think about like, and I begin to, when I begin to think of all that God has done, every good gift comes from the Father. And when you begin to give God credit for every good thing in your life, what it does is it begins to help you see him rightly. Right? And so God is wanting to teach us when we come corporately how to come before him. He wants to, the goal is that we come individually, but through thanksgiving and praise, we see him rightly and there is something on his heart. Like this morning, there is something on his heart. And for us, what we do is we come and we say, God, what's in your heart? We want to tap into what's on your heart. I don't know if this has ever happened to you or if you've experienced this, but there's so many times where I will simply just share what I feel like the Lord's saying. And then there'll be people come up and say, hey, last night, the Lord was speaking to me about the same thing. Or somebody say, this week, the Lord's doing this. And these things, that they're not just coincidences. What they do is they reveal that there is something on God's heart, right? And it's how we come into unity. All right, I gotta keep moving. I want to do this. Read this. 1 Peter chapter 2 verse 5. You also like. This one works. Sorry about that, guys. Screen's not working. The microphone's not working. We need prayer. So you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. I wanted to read that just to say again that the Lord is building something with us together, right? What's that? Oh yeah, that scripture is 1 Peter 2, verse 5. So the only way we mature, how many of you know that God in building something, if there's a building project, it has different stages, right? You have the foundation. How many, anybody in construction in here, you know that there's a process, there's a sequence to building stuff. You don't start with the roof, right? There's a building process in which things are being built. And so we know that Christ is the cornerstone. He is the foundation of all that we do. But then he is building us up together, meaning that if you think about a house, there are different parts building up a house, right? There's different materials, there's different textures, there's different purposes to different things. And if you were to look at us in this room, there are some of you who maybe you're a foundational part of the house. Maybe you're the working with Christ. Like it says in that first scripture in Ephesians that that the house that God is building, it was built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, meaning that there are actual people that are part of foundational things in the body. But then some of you, you're like the studs going up. You know, you're going up. Some of you are like the sheetrock, and you're the, you know, like each one of us each has our part, right, to make up a functioning house. But the point is, it's not just a house, it's a dwelling place for the Lord. It's that when people see the body, what they should say is the evident thing is God is there. Right? It says it in Jeremiah, and the city of God is called, He is there. That's what's supposed to mark us. God's there. I remember there was a couple that came from out of town. They traveled the world and somehow they landed in Hammond, Louisiana. And they said, every time we land in a city, we find a church for that Sunday and we go. And it was this lady and her kids, and they came into the foyer of the church, and they accidentally came here. They were actually trying to go to a different church and they ended up here. And they were sitting in the foyer and the kids say, Mom, are we in the right place? And her response was, I don't know, but the Lord is here. And in that service, I began talking about, or I said, you know, I was basically saying there's a lot of stuff that I don't know, but I know this one thing is that I want us to be a house where it's said the Lord is here. And she came up to me after and she said, I was in the foyer before service. And she said, I couldn't tell you much about this church other than I walked in and I knew the Lord is here. And I believe it's what's meant to mark us. Is what is a house? How do you become a house that is marked by the phrase "the Lord is there"? How do you become somewhere where the Lord wants to actually be? You know, say that phrase that the Lord's everywhere, right? We know that, but He's the God that's everywhere that decides to come and be somewhere. You know, you walk into a place and you're like, God ain't here, you know, and then there's times where you go into a place where it's just like God comes and manifests Himself in a way that is very evident, right? And I believe that it starts with us acknowledging Him as the leader, as the head, as the cornerstone. That the kingdom isn't built on personalities. It's not built on performance. It's not built on good sermons. It's built by Him, and He's building people together that have this heart that say, I'm a man or a woman after His own heart. It's a people who have come and they've put aside their thing for His thing. It's the great thing about the gospel. You know, you hear the gospel and you hear, there's life, you're a new creation, He's forgiven you, and we love that. We love the story of life, but not everybody talks about that you come to the table to receive life, but you also come to the table and you die, right? I'm coming and I'm dying. See, you come alive to the new man, but there's an old man to die to, right? That you continually have to die to. I read that scripture about old things have passed away, all things have become new, or that talk about that you've become a new creation or new man. And I'm like, well, the old man sure does love to pop up. If he's dead, he's like a zombie. You know, he loves to pop up and say hello. But every day, it's a decision to say, I'm going to grow in awareness of the new man, the new reality, and I'm learning daily to die to the old man, right? All right. So for the next few minutes, this is what I want to do, because I think this is really important for us. And I believe that even today, some of this is going to be healing for some of you. I'm going to give you a little bit of homework, okay? Why don't this week you go and you read 1 Corinthians chapter 12? All right, write that down, or if you have a really good memory, just lock it in. 1 Corinthians 12, I'm going to read a small portion of it. Y'all good? So really, 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But it also just talks about the functioning of the body of Christ. I believe that the Lord is wanting to restore the ruins of his church and build it into a building that is full of life and full of him, and that is the full expression of Jesus in the earth. It's what I believe he's wanting to do. And each one of us has a part of that. And I believe that the enemy wants nothing more than to hijack that and for us to have a form or a version of that that may kind of look like it, but it ain't it. And I believe in a lot of ways that's what's happened, because the gifts of the Spirit and the gifts of Christ, I'm going to show you the two differences between those. 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about both, but they were all unto seeing the body of Christ mature and come into completeness. And a lot of times I'm looking around at the church and I'm like, are we maturing? Are we maturing? And a lot of times it can be that I'm like, you know, we've got lots of stuff. Maybe for us, we are, you know, we live in a day where our churches are bigger than they've ever been before. And I'd like to say that if we looked at it like this, we have churches that are wider than ever before, but they're also shallower than ever before. As we have determined success by how wide it is and not how deep it is. You know, it's easy to be impressed with something that on the outside it looks big. But when something goes deep, it's the roots, and you don't see the root system. Now, something with roots, it will have good fruit. That will be the evidence. But I feel like we've been less impressed with fruit than we have the building, the size. Right? Y'all with me? And even for your life, is that he's not calling you to just have a life that is extravagant and big. And you know, we live in this world where everybody wants to be, not some of you, you're like, I don't want to be this, but maybe a younger generation, they're moved by the social media influencers and to get my name out there, and I want to make my mark, and that is a shallow life. There's nothing wrong with influence, but the only influence I want is the God-given influence, right? And there's something of what I want is I want deep roots in him that when things are shaky, I'm not moved. When things don't look extravagant on the outside, it's okay because I've got deep roots. That's not where my value system is. My value system is in what maybe no one else sees, but it's in the intimate places with the Lord. That's where life is at. You know, we have more visually available to us than ever before, right? If you want to see something around the world, just look up on your phone a picture of it. Even travel. I mean, there's so much access, right? And I believe it's through that the enemy would want to steal our vision, in the sense that he begins to hijack what we see. What we see becomes the most important thing, but the kingdom is unseen. It's the unseen realm, right? All right, I gotta keep moving. So if you read in 1 Corinthians 12, it begins to talk about the gifts of the Spirit. And it says in verse 7, it says, a spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. Okay? Everybody here, you have been given gifts. And you're also someone that the Holy Spirit wants to give more gifts to. But what is it for? Is it for you to build your platform? Is it for you to gain influence? Is it for your promotion? No, it's to serve one another. It's to bless one another. It's actually the gift on your life is less about your growth and more about others' growth. And you equally get to share in that other people have gifts that are for your growth. And that's what keeps us connected, is that I need you and you need me. But you need a me that is, has a heart that's fully after his. You need the version of me that's fully submitted to the head. I need the version of you that's fully submitted to the Lord. So, verse 13, the human body has many parts, but the many parts make up the whole body. So it is with the body of Christ. So there are gifts. There are different parts of the body. Sorry, I got the sniffles. All right, so there are the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and then there are the gifts of Christ. How many of you have heard of the fivefold ministry? Apostles, prophets, teachers, right? Evangelist. I want to, for the next few minutes, I want to teach on these five gifts of Christ. Let me give this distinction. If you look in verse 29, it says, are we all apostles? Are we all prophets? Are we all teachers? It's asking a question. And then it says, do we all have the power to do miracles? Do we all have the gift of healing? He's making a distinction right here that an apostle, a prophet, a teacher is something someone is, and the gifts are something that you have. Does that make sense? So the gifts of Christ are actually people that the Lord gives to the church as a gift. And it's not carrying this thing of, I'm the gift to all humanity. No, they are serving roles. They are places where I actually learn to come underneath people and to lift them up. So when you hear about apostles and pastors and teachers and evangelists and prophets, it is not a hierarchy. It is a building sequence. Okay? It is actually people that the Lord uses to build up and mature his church. And I can say this is a lot of times what we've had, and this is what we've done, especially in the Western world, is everybody is a pastor, right? Did you know in the New Testament that pastor is actually the least used out of those five? But in our world, everybody's a pastor. And we expect the pastor to counsel everybody, to preach the message, to teach the message, to prophesy, to lead to kind of, in some ways, run a small-sized, medium-sized business, to have a healthy family, to raise their kids. And I'll just tell you this, I don't know anybody who can do all that. Maybe very few. But I don't think the Lord's asking anybody to do that. And I'm not standing up here saying, I'm trying to let myself off the hook from anything. What I'm saying is, just as much as you need permission to be fully you in the body, I need full permission to be me in the body. That I don't have to be everything to everybody. And that's something that we've held up as a staff, as our elders here at the church, is that nobody is everything to everybody. But what we need, and a lot of times when you have a leader who is the representative of all of those things, or at least we think they are, it leaves no room for the other expressions of Christ. Here's the truth, is that those five gifts of Christ are basically the five ministries of who Jesus is. Those are the five expressions of Jesus. He is the apostle. He is the pastor. He is the teacher. He is the prophet. And what happens is, in a healthy church where he is the head, he will begin to bring those people together to be a blessing to the body so that they will fully mature. And what has happened many times is we have had evangelistic churches, we have prophetic churches, we've got the word churches, and we've got all these different churches. And what has happened is we are robbing the body of the full expression of Christ. And so everybody thinks it's all about this. And they give themselves, and what happens is they say, well, we're doing it right, and you guys aren't doing what we're doing. And so we've got the market cornered. We're reaching the lost like nobody else. And I applaud that. That is a big part. But it is a part. Y'all with me? How many of you know we need it all? So this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to quickly land by giving us, I want to show you the distinction between the five. Ephesians, if you need to see this, Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, write that down. Ephesians 4, 11 through 13. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. So he's saying that the role of these ministers are to build up the church, and it is unto each of you being equipped for good works. So what we've had a lot of times, here's the example we'll give, is kind of like a football game. You've got 22,000 fans cheering on 22 players who are tired and worn out and ready to go home. And what we need to do in the kingdom is to flip this, where there's 22 people cheering on 22,000 saying, you can do it. I'm behind you, I'm equipping you, I'm encouraging you. Right? That's what the body's supposed to be like. Did you know, let's take a prophet for example. Did you know that the main function of a prophet is not to prophesy? They will prophesy, but the main function of a prophet is to equip the church in prophecy. They give you a grace for that. You are being equipped for good works. For you to show up and to think that there's a team of people here, of leaders, and they're doing all the work of ministry, if that's what you have been taught wrong. They are here to serve you. They are here to build you up, to encourage you, to equip you for the work of ministry. Come on. What would happen if it wasn't resting on the shoulders of a few, but we all said, hey, I don't have to be everything to everybody, but I get to be fully who the Lord has made me to be, and I can be a part of a house, be a part of a community, be part of a world where I get to express God in me and through the God that's in me through me. Right? And we all are benefactors, where we begin to say, man, I need who the Lord is in Wayne. Right? Let me just use this as an example, like my relationship with Wayne. Our relationship may never look like Wayne sitting down and teaching me the Word of God, but what he does bring to my life is, as a father in the house, he encourages me. He calls out what I can't see in me. And guess what? I get to talk to him about the Word of God and teach him. And there's this thing of, like, he gets to lean on the gift inside of me, and I get to lean on the gift inside of him. And we're both built up, right? This should be encouraging. This is what the body's supposed to look like. It's that nobody is just stagnant. Nobody is unuseful. Is that you? What you do and what you bring might not look like what everybody else brings, but we need you. All right. So let me give this distinction. One, the teacher. The teachers are anointed teachers of the Word of God who make the truth and knowledge of the Word of God accessible to all. They bring clarity and revelation from the Scripture. They love the Word of God. If you were to ask a teacher, hey, what did you think about the service today? What their biggest question would be was, well, what did we learn? they would walk away saying, what did we learn at church today? That's what a teacher would be asking. All right, I want to show you the differences here. Number two, a pastor. A pastor, it literally means shepherd, right? Jesus gifts people to us who love to care for the flock. They are great at guiding people through brokenness and back to wholeness. They are great at creating a sense of belonging. Pastors love people. If you were to ask a pastor about the church service, what he would say is he would say, who was there today? So the teacher's saying, what did we learn? The pastor's saying, who was there? Man, was Sue at church today? I didn't see her. Where was she? Is she okay? Let me call her, all right? We need real pastors in the body. I think a lot of times we've called evangelist pastors. And evangelists, they need to be on the go, okay? That's actually the next one, is the evangelist. It means the messenger of the good news. If you were to try and box in an evangelist as a pastor of the church, just as the leader, and they had to just do church every day, they would go crazy. They would become critical. They'd be like, what are we doing? We need to go. The evangelist needs to be in the highways and byways. They need to be across seas. They need to be with the broken. That's who the Lord's made them to be. But what they do for the church is that they step in and they remind us, hey, there is a go of the gospel. And they impart a grace for us to not just be looking like there is a big part of us building up one another, but a part of you sustaining life is you being able to give that life away. And so the evangelist is going to be calling out, give it away. Don't just keep what you have, because there's more. And the only way you get more is if you're giving it away. But I would say this, if you made an evangelist the singular pastor of a church, what would happen is they would probably grow a mega church. And it, like I said, it would be very wide, but it'd be very shallow. Because you need the other four. It's a building process. So the evangelist, they love to and are anointed to proclaim the gospel. They stir curiosity and desire to know Jesus. They have a hard time understanding why everyone else doesn't want to go. The truth is, most of us are here because of an evangelist. The people of God without evangelists are prone to tread water or decline. We need the evangelist. We just don't want to box them in. We just want you to preach here. You preach really good. And they're going to be like, I don't want to stay here. I want to come and visit you. I want to be deeply connected to you. It's what I love about Joel and Joy over here, is that they carry that. They are that to this house. They are that evangelistic voice. And every time they're here, I'm reminded of, I got to go. I can't forget the lost and broken world. Need that. Right? And so we need those voices, and we honor them for that. But we also don't sit here and expect, like, why aren't they more this or that? It's like, no, let them be who they are, right? And I feel that for people who are fivefold ministers. I'm like, just let them be who they are. Quit putting these lofty expectations on them that they have to be everything to you. The pastor just didn't counsel me. Well, maybe he's not a pastor. Do you ever? I'm saying we need to bring that language to the church. That needs to be clear. It doesn't mean you have to sit around and figure out what all of the fivefold are. I wonder what Pastor John is. Is he really a pastor, or is he this? And please don't come up to me after and say, "Hey, what are you?" I won't tell you. No, I'm joking. So if the evangelists were to have a question about the service, they would say, who got saved today? Number four, prophets. Prophets reveal the heart of God. They can discern God's heart for a situation. They bring clarity to hard times, and they also equip the body in hearing the voice of God. Prophets, I believe it's one of the most needed voices in the church, but what I have found is that prophets many times are not welcomed well into the church, and they have a hard time finding their place. They carry, usually the trap for a prophet is to come under heaviness because they're hearing and seeing a lot. And it's why people who are prophets need to be vitally connected. I found this, prophets need to be pastored. We need the prophetic voice. When the prophetic voice isn't vitally attached to God's people, it becomes a voice that just gets distorted. It's whenever you start seeing prophetic words just thrown out, and it doesn't, for me, if I hear somebody give a prophetic word, it's very easy to tell if they're connected to people or not, connected to God's people. And so prophets, they would say, or they would ask, what did God say today? I wanted to end with prophets and then apostles, because we read earlier in Ephesians that it says in the building of the church that the apostles and prophets are foundation layers. They lay the foundation. Why? Let me first tell you about apostles, and I'll tell you why. Apostles, it means sent ones. They create and establish kingdom culture. That word apostle was originally used. It was this Greek word that came from Roman culture, where what would happen is as Rome was building their empire and they would take over these barbarian, whatever, their areas, barbaric, whatever, these people who weren't Romans, they would send, as they captured that area, they would send what we would know as an apostle to go and teach them the Roman way. So what apostles do in the kingdom is they come and they teach kingdom way. They make sure that the purity and the heart of what is being laid is right. That the apostle Paul, he would make sure that things are built on the foundation of Christ. That we're not building something that's built on the strength and the wisdom of man, but we are building on the gospel of Christ. So apostles, they start new works, but they lay foundations. Apostle Paul would go and he might spend years somewhere building a foundation, but then he would raise up teams of people full of the Holy Spirit. He would raise up pastors and evangelists, and he would raise up teachers, and he would say, hey, build up the body. And he entrusted them to the Holy Spirit. So even if we looked at this house, is that we are in a building process. You might say, well, what about this? What about this? Let's ask the head. Okay? The first time I shared this to the church, I was preaching, and I started just internalizing it and thinking, oh gosh, I need to make sure that we have all five here. And I began to feel all this pressure of like, oh, we've got to make this happen. Who's it? Lord, I'm looking at the crowd. Who's it? Who are these people? And I felt the Holy Spirit just say, hey, stop. He said, hey, if Christ is the head, he'll provide everything that's needed. And so we're not in a hurry here to just, all right, you're this, you're that, come on. But we allow, as we stay connected to him, we allow the Lord to raise up those people. And so the apostles, if they were to ask a question about the service today, they would say, was God here? What they would ultimately want is to know, hey, were we connected to the head? Was it pure? Was it right? If we had everything else, but we aren't connected to him, they're going to come and they're going to shake it up. They're the apostles are the ones who are going to put the fire to you and say, and they're what they're going to do is they're going to hold up the fire to what you have to test it. They're going to say, is it pure? Is it pure? Why Paul would go, he went to the Galatians and he said that famous line of, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you?" It was this cry of, why are you getting off course? Why are you trying to build on another foundation other than Christ? How many of you know we need that voice? The Western church needs that apostolic voice that says, we must build on Christ in Christ alone. Right? Some of you in your lives, you need that voice that's saying, why are you building on something that's not Him? Why are you building on all your stuff and your ways and your abilities and you're not building on Him? We need that voice in our world. We need that voice in our lives that brings purity again to the believer and to the house of God. I love that Paul said in Corinthians, he said, you know, there are all these different leaders. You know, Apollos was one of these leaders who he was a great orator. He was like, he it says that he spoke with enthusiasm and he knew the scripture. And what was happening was people were saying, oh, I follow Apollos. And some people would be like, I follow Peter. And some people would be like, I follow Paul. And Paul says, why are you doing this? Why? He said, don't you know that everything belongs to you? And what he meant was, you have Christ. You've got Him. So if you're sitting here and looking, and don't ever let it be a boasting thing that, oh, I go to that church, or I belong to that pastor. It's, no. You belong to Christ. You belong to Christ. Now, I'm not saying that we don't belong to a body and that we don't honor. Honor is a big word. Honor is basically acknowledging that someone is filling the God-given space for their life. I acknowledge that pastor, he is being who God made him to be. And in me honoring him, I can receive from him. Why does Scripture say that if you honor a prophet, the name of a prophet, you receive a prophet's reward? What's the reward of a prophet? It's to hear and to see. So when you honor a prophet as a prophet, what happens is you begin to receive a grace on your life to hear the Lord. So this is how these five ministries work. If you looked at it like, you ever been to a fast food place where they have drink dispensers? Right? And these five are like drink dispensers, okay? You've got different flavors. You've got Coke and Dr. Pepper and Diet Coke and root beer. And so you've got these, but the grace on your life to be able to receive, your ability to be able to receive the grace on their life, what determines how much grace you get to receive from them is how big of a cup you bring. We all have different size cups. And so you being connected and honoring a prophet, you begin to receive a prophet's reward, meaning that, are you a prophet? No. But you get the gift of prophecy. You receive that grace on their lives. Does that make sense? Is that that's how it works, where these five are equipping you for good works. That's good news. And you're like, where's my place in the body? Well, here's a good starting point. Get connected to the head. Begin to be a person of honor. Instead of trying to figure people out, are they this, are they that, are they... Come with this humble heart that says, I simply want to fill the space that God's given me, and whenever I see Christ revealed through someone else, I'm going to honor Christ in them. Instead of having a critical attitude where you're like, are they for real? Is that God? Are they religious? Whatever it is. And you begin to say, instead, is Christ being revealed to them? Right? I want to end by saying this. There's this scripture that says that when we are critical and we tear down, it's like gangrene to the body. And that's basically something that is eating away at the flesh. When we become critical of one another, and where we have dishonor in our hearts, what happens is we begin to spread disease in the body. And I don't know about you, but I don't feel like Christ would feel too good about that. And he wants to come and heal that. But the last thing I want to do is being one who's bringing decay to his body. When you realize that you have part to play in the body being whole and healthy and mature, you'll walk differently, you'll talk differently, and you'll make sure that you bring to the table whatever's been given to you. And it should be this thing where we ask the Lord for more. Paul said, desire the gifts. Ask for the gifts. Right? So, this is what I want us to do this morning. I want you to stand. Did y'all receive something today? Somebody just yawned. They're like, oh, good word, Pastor. I'm messing, it's all good. Y'all good today?
Yeah.
We needed this. We need this.
Yes.
You have a part. I want you to say, I have a part. I want you to close your eyes and I want you to tell the Lord, ask the Lord, say, Lord, what is my part? What is my part? Maybe for you, you've had a critical heart. What you need to do today is to come and submit to the head, Christ. You need to come and say, Jesus, I need you to be the head of my life. I need you to be the leader. Maybe for you, you've been building on the wrong foundation. When you build on the wrong foundation, you'll somehow feel entitled to critiquing his body and his building. You'll feel like you have that right. But whenever you're connected to him, you care for it so much that you watch your words. And for some of you, maybe your growth and your maturing hasn't happened because you haven't been rightly planted in his house and with his people. Criticism will cut off the flow of God's grace. And it's not because he's not pouring it out. It's just that you have quenched the flow. You've cut it off from your own life. And I just feel like the Holy Spirit on this today, some of you need to just come to the Lord and be honest and say, Lord, I have had my own opinion of your body and your house, and I need to turn from that, and I need to turn to being quick to have mercy like you have mercy. I need to come to the table and say, Lord, what is it that you're bringing through me? How can I be a part of maturation in the body? Lord, who is it? How can I receive from others? And so I want you just to humble yourself before the Lord. Push everything else aside for just the next 30 seconds. And just ask him, Lord, will you show me what it means to be a part of your body? Let the Lord just begin to restore purity, humility. Some of you, you've been hurt by church leadership, and you had, like, I even feel like there's been those who have, you had like a primary voice in your life, and they were a part, but they made themselves the whole thing for you, and there were deficiencies that you had because it was, what you were exposed to was more like a cult than it was the kingdom. And that's not to be, want you to make that weird, but it becomes where we put someone else's voice above the voice of the Lord, and what needs to happen is you need to release that person, forgive them, but also make sure that Jesus holds the highest place in your heart, that he's enthroned upon your heart. He's enthroned upon your heart. So Lord, I just ask that you would heal people today. I feel like this is healing for some. This is healing where there have been things that you've been like, well, why isn't this, or why isn't that, or why isn't this happening? You've had questions. And the Lord's wanting to come, and he's saying, I do have a way. I have a way that I'm building. And Lord, as a body right now, Lord, we submit to the head. We submit to you. As a church body, we say, Lord, come and lead us. I thank you, Lord, that by your Holy Spirit, that you have distributed gifts for the building up of the body here. And Jesus, I thank you that you have brought and you are bringing those who themselves are gifts to this body so that we can be fully equipped, so that we can be mature in you, that we could be complete in Christ. So we just say yes to you, Holy Spirit. Thank you. Amen. Amen. Isn't the Lord good?
Thank you for tuning in to our Sermon of the Week. For more information, please visit us at thewellspringchurch.org.